and determines your destiny. So let me pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to share the Word of God, to share the things that you've been sharing with me, Heavenly Father, to this wonderful body of believers. And for those that are watching by TV, Facebook, Roku, and all the other internets and all the other areas there of technology, we just thank and we praise you, Father God, that right now, even in their homes, just like it is here, let your precious, powerful Holy Spirit settle down in their homes, in their heart, and let there be such an anointing in their house that you increase your frequency of the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. And let us have such a heart hunger for you in our lives, Heavenly Father God, in our churches, that, Father, that we come together as one, walking in unity, walking in harmony, believing the same things, speaking the same things, having the same spirit of faith, so that we're of one mind, one heart, and one accord. And again, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me to minister this word and to be an effective minister, a minister of flame, of fire, Father God. Anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and that we would be able to perceive and know what the Spirit of the Lord is having to say. That still blesses my heart. I mean, I appreciate you, Pastor, for, you know, letting her do that, because I've been telling her, I said, you need to get you something ready. And I said, the devil's trying to intimidate you and trying to do this and do that. But we know he's a liar. We know he's been defeated. Amen. So there was one verse that came up while David was ministering the word, and it's not in my notes, Melinda, but it's Isaiah chapter 60, and it talks about that the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And the second verse talks about how that gross darkness covers the earth and covers the people in the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine and arise upon us. So having to talk about and teach on perception has to do with your vision, not just your natural vision, but a vision like God will give Pastor a vision, or God will give you a vision for your individual life. It's your ability to see. It's your ability to discern. And then if the perception, your perception determines your destination, that's one word for destiny, or your future, then it's important to look at what you're looking through. You know, what are you filtering your vision through? If you're filtering it through the world has a globalist view, a one world government view. You know, if you, me as the church, if we buy into that, then we're circumventing, short-circuiting the power and the presence of God. And as believers in Christ, like I said, you can't put baby in the corner. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And like Debbie was saying, we've been raised for such a time as this. This is our time. This is our time to stand and fight for the kingdom of God. Amen. If you're filtering your vision, and when I say filtering, sometimes you can go to some of these, you know, scenic overlooks, and they've got these things standing there that are really high-powered binoculars, but they look like a heart to me. So you're standing there, and you're looking behind this, and you're looking through lenses at some of the beautiful scenery that you've got. Sometimes I've looked into those, and those lenses have been scarred. Or somebody's either had something, makeup or something on their face. probably sounds a little bit cruddy, but you know, you put your face up there not thinking anything about it before you wipe it off, and it's so blurry you can't see. And see, I think that that's what the enemy has tried to do to the church. He's tried to blur our vision. He's tried to blur our discerning. He's trying to blur our perception of how and what we see, and especially when it comes to how we see ourselves. God already sees us as victorious. God already sees us as healed. God already sees us as a powerful, mighty army upon this earth, his representatives and his ambassadors. But as I said before, you know, depending on what you're filtering your vision through, or your perception through, your discerning through, even if it's religion, religion, and I'm talking about churches, you know, I'm talking about the religious aspect. The Bible talks about religion having a form of godliness, but denying the very power of God. So what it does, it'll take a certain scripture, a certain thing, and say, well, this is what God will do, but they won't carry it any farther. They won't allow the freedom and the liberty of the Holy Spirit into themselves, into their churches, and therefore they... Even Jesus said this, he said, your traditions makes my word of no effect or no power. And that's where the devil wants to take the church to. The perception, if he can get us looking, and there's a song that says, put your eyes on Jesus, look upon Jesus, you know. I can't sing it, so I'm not even going to try. But that's where the church needs to be looking at. Amen. He is the real deal. Amen. Melinda, if you would, go ahead and put up Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 4. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, and I'll tell you which verse we're at, but we're going to start with verse 4 in the Amplified, and then I'll say verse 5, and then you can move it. But it says, but God. Somebody say, but God. Say it, but God. But God. Had it not been for God. Amen. There's several of those but God situations and moments in the book, in the Bible. Had it not been for God, you know. Thank the Lord. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. The love is the motivating factor of our Father. It should be the motivating factor in our church. That's one of the filters that we need to filter everything through, is God's love, the agape love. The type of love that looks past people's faults and intent, you know. And, you know, I'm not saying that we agree with everything that goes on, but we look and try to see the best. Amen. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Now, that being said, I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they, even though that we're in Christ and we're in union and fellowship with him, there's more of an affinity or more of a love for the world and the things of the world. And when it comes to priorities or when it comes to God's time, sometimes his time is robbed because we're putting other things in front of him. The affinity that we have, the love that we have for the things of the world seem to draw us more than the love of God, when it needs to be the other way around. One of the other areas that I'm going to talk and say a little bit about too, especially in this day and time, is the darkness that seems to be covering this world. You know, if you're watching the news, I said it before, you're getting the wrong information. A lot of it, half-truths, deception, false, you can't believe it. Right here is the only source of truth. And this is what we need. Now, I'm going to say this too, and I know it may sound funny, but the Bible talks about, and I can't remember what verse it is, but it says, we have an unction of the Holy Spirit who knows all things. And because of that unction of the Holy Spirit, we can know things even before they happen out here in the world. But it comes back to that intimacy. It comes back to the desire of being in the presence of God, putting him first in our lives. Amen. Sometimes, like I said before, you know, we get so busy with other things that we forget to put God first. And it shouldn't be that way. That should be the first thing on your mind when you get up in the morning, before your feet even hit the ground. You look up and say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in me. You are welcome in this house. I welcome Holy Spirit to work in me, to willing to do of God's good pleasure. I welcome Holy Spirit to search me, seek me, search in me inwardly. See if there's any wicked ways in me. Cleanse me of those secret sins and hidden faults. starting out your day like that puts you on the right path. Amen. It's like Debbie was talking about the tithes and the offering. That's a part of your life. So since we're in Christ, He should be the major part of our life. Because without Him, like it says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no hope. Verse 6 says, and He's raised us up together. No, let's do verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. So there's our calling. The world's not calling us other than to lead us away from God Himself and to have their narrative, their perception. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life which with He quickened Christ. And it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved and delivered, amen, from the judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Now, the verse that I really want to get to, and Melinda, you can go ahead and go to verse number 10 in Ephesians 2 and 10. And I think when I read this, and again, this is talking about our destiny. This is talking about our future. This is talking about God Himself, our filters, you know, the vision that we have coming through what God says about us, what God's Word is, amen, and what it means to us. So in Ephesians 2:10, in the Amplified, it says, we are God's own handiwork. One place says that we are special people. We are chosen, and He's chosen us as a special people to show Himself strong and mighty to. You know, there's many examples in the Old Testament where many times the children of Israel, even though they got over into an area of sin, you know, they come back, they repented to God, and God moved. He remembered their covenant. Yes. Amen. We're going to go to another place here shortly, but right now I'm going to finish this, and it says, we're His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Talking about future, we're talking about destiny. Our destiny as a body of Christ is hidden in God. Our destiny is something that God's planned for, prearranged, amen, even all the way back through those ages from Adam all the way up to our time now until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a destiny that's sure and steadfast in God. We have a future. We have a hope. So He's pre-planned it for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Listen to this. Living the good life. He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now to listen and to hear a lot of churches, to hear a lot of religious people, that ain't what they're saying. You know, that's not what the world's saying. They're saying that we're not to be knocked from pillar to post. God may hear your prayer, He may not. God may heal you, He may not. Amen. Even some of them right now are crying, Lord, come and get me. Because it's too hard for me. I can't do this. And I've said before, it's not a rescue mission that God's going to come back for the church. He's coming back after a glorious church. So it's time for the church to reach down and take their bootstraps, pull them up, cinch them up, and like Debbie was saying, learn to fight. Learn to fight because the enemy's already been defeated. And the only thing that we got to do is do what the Word says and demonstrate His defeat. Amen? To push the kingdom of God into this world. And the Bible says, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's just not a religious prayer. That's the will of God. So how's God going to do and make His will come to place in the earth? He's going to do it through us. We're partakers of His divine grace and nature. So, having said that, the destiny that God's planned for us is so much better than the world. But it's up to us, like I said, not only just to filter it through the Word of God, but it's about choices that we make, everyday choices. Pastor preached on this the other day, talking about, I think it was in Deuteronomy 30. I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. You know, choose life. I mean, it's like an open book test. choose life, that you and your seed may live. But you know what? Some people still, they don't choose life. I don't understand it for the life of me. I don't understand Christians who won't even get into the Word and who won't study and to know enough about the Word of God to where when the devil comes at them, instead of spouting religious quotes, you know, they spout the Word of God and they get the Word of God. Religion will kill you. The Christianity, the law of the life in Christ Jesus, it'll make you free. Amen. But religion will kill you. Here's a statement that God gave me. It says a whole lot. And Melinda, you can go ahead and turn back to Jeremiah 29:11. I'll come to that one. But this is the statement that God gave me. I'm God. I'm your God. There is no other God. They may want to be God, but I have the power, I have the ability to raise one up and to set one down. I am God. He's our God. He's our Father. So listen to this. He says, to remind them of my future that I plan for them. And we just read how that He has pre-planned, pre-arranged for us to walk in the good life. And the good life is standing on the Word of God. Amen. Walking in those promises. He says, our God, which is our Father, has mine and your future already planned out. Now, when you look at future, the definition is times and events that hasn't happened yet. They are to come. What do you want to come? Do you want God's plan? Do you want the world's plan? Do you want the religion plan? Or do you want life's plan, God's plan? Amen. If we walked according to the course of this world, I'm telling you, you know, like I said, the darkness is there. No denying that darkness. But where's the evidence of the light? And as I said once before in when I ministered about the divine reset, God never intends for darkness to overcome light. Darkness is made to give way to the light. Amen. It has to. Turn these lights off and we'd be in totally pitch dark. Turn one little light on, even on your phone. I don't have my phone with me, but you turn that little light on and there's enough light that it will pierce the darkness and the darkness will... So the more light that you add to it, the brighter it gets and the less the darkness can stand. So we're the light of the world. Say amen. God's called you to be the light in the world. He's called us to be salt and light. Salt, you know what salt does to food? Makes it taste good. Amen. The world's looking for answers. People in the world. God, Jesus, died for the sins of the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He even made it so simple, said, if you just call on me, confess me, I'll come into your life. Amen. So we're called to be salt and light in the church. For the most part, we're not. You know, the Bible talks about salt. If it's lost its favor, it's just good just to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. And if your light's gone out, you better get you a charger. And the charger's right here in the Word. And the Holy Spirit. So to finish up that statement, he says, I planned your future already out with times and events yet to come. They've got new beginnings, new seasons, brand new starts, blessing, not curses. And like I said, the church, the religious church, that seems like that's the only thing that they can see is the curse. That's the only thing they can see, you know. Old saying is, they can't look up for so much as looking down on the ground. Amen. So he goes ahead to say that it's something that he has intentionally arranged for us in advance according to his original purpose, which he designed for us. And again, you have to go back to when he created Adam and put him in Eden. You talk about a perfect place. That's that Pentecostal spit coming out right there. But you talk about a perfect place that he had it made. Amen. We can't blame Adam because God knew what was going to happen anyway. Adam transgressed, we know that. Sin came into the world. But what we lost in Adam, Jesus comes, regains every bit of that back, and brings us back to the position and the place of being in right fellowship with God, and puts man back into his ranking. It's God, it's man, it's the angels, amen, it's the animals, and then it's plant life. So we need to raise up. We need to raise up our thinking, raise up our vision. And he says, I plan to give you a prosperous life, thriving, not surviving. You talk a lot of Christian people today, that's all they're doing. They're just surviving. And the reason why they're surviving is because they've not put the Word of God first place. We're letting too many things enter in to keep us away from our power source. Even though that it's right here on the inside of us. And when you start looking at this word that has the power of God working in it, dynamic in its working, and you start speaking that out of your mouth, you're a weapon. You're a weapon. Amen. Armed and dangerous. And that's what the devil wants to keep you away from. That's the reason why he throws little things at you. There's some more of that Pentecostal spit, I tell you. I'm excited about this message. I hope you can see that, because God has a definite planned future for us. You know, I've said this, and I know a lot of people are going to look at me funny when I say this, but I'm getting ready to turn 70 years old. And I know I don't look like it, right? 70 right now, it's only a number. 70, amen. But here we go. You know, the promises of God in Genesis 6:3, he says that man's life should be 120 years. Religion teaches you that 70 or 80 years by reason of strength. Those 70 and 80 years has to do with those 10 spies and that evil generation when they wouldn't agree with God and they gave that bad report. Moses went to God and he said, they're dying out at 70 and 80 years by reason of strength. And the Lord told him, said, basically that's what they're going to do, because I said that generation will not enter into the promised land. They will not enter into the rest. Only their kids that were 20 years and under. Joshua and Caleb got to lead them in because they agreed with God's good report. So that's where we've got to be too, you know. 60, it's too early to go out. 70 is too early to go out. Well, somebody says, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, you know, and I started quoting some scriptures another thing I've been studying too is about the promises of God about long life, length of days, life worth living. Amen. Moses, I said this before, at 120 years old, when he died, the Bible says that his eyes, or actually it says his vision was not dim. So that goes to what I'm talking about, and that his natural forces were not abated. That means that your physical and mental faculties are not to be, they're not to diminish. They're not to have lack of anything. You go out of here, you go out of this earth, fulfilling your calling, your mandate, and then you just say, okay, I'm ready to go. I mean, you'll know it. I believe you'll know it. I mean, from what I've been studying, God will show you. So we've got a lot of work to do. The rapture is a real event. I know I've mentioned that it is going to happen, the catching away. When it's going to happen, I don't know. But you've got to be prepared and ready to go. But while you're here, this is your time to fight. This is your time to establish the kingdom of God. So it's a prosperous life, not just thriving or merely surviving, but one that makes you the head and not the tail, and the above and not the beneath. One of peace. And I told you the last time that I ministered, that word peace is shalom. That's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken, nothing damaged. But, you know, here's another filter that a lot of the church, they look at it through. They gauge themselves by their humanity instead of their divinity. Do y'all understand what I'm saying about that? Because they look at themselves as the old man that they once were before they got saved. And the excuse is, we're only human. I've said this before. We're more than human. When you got born again, you're a whole new creation. So our focus is not on the humanity, but we're on the divinity side. We're on the new creation side. Pastor said this the other day, and I've said it before too. You're not fighting if you're needing healing in your body. You're not fighting to get healed. In other words, you're already fighting in that position that you already have victory. You're already healed, and you're just denying that sickness that's attacked your body the right to stay in it, because your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. Romans 8:11 talks about the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us, and it quickens our mortal body. That word quickened means to be made alive. Amen. Energized, regenerated. I know I ain't there yet, but I'm getting there. But I'm just, it's the filters that we as the church look through. The perception that it gives us will determine what type of destiny, what type of future that we have. The godly future or the worldly future. Amen. I for one, don't want anything to do with the world's way of thinking. I'm not ready. No, I'm not even going to go down there. Antichrist, it's not his time yet. Like I said, I've got a son, one generation. Then I've got a grandson, another generation. And time lasts, and I believe that it will. He'll have a generation. But by then, I should be gone. Maybe. But I've got a job to do. I've got to teach my son, who has to teach his son, who teaches his son, what we're talking about here. How to stand, how to have a vision for your future that doesn't involve so much as the world, but it's involved and written and through the precepts of the Word of God. So, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm there. I've got more than this, but I'm not going to get it all. I know that. It says, I know what I'm doing. This is the Message translation, but you're looking at it in the King James. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, here's the Message translation of that. It says, I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. I planned it all out. Plans to take care of you and not to abandon you. Here's the Good News translations. It says, plans to bring you prosperity and not disasters. Here's the Contemporary English version. Plans to bring you a future of success, thriving. Religion don't teach that. Amen. But that's God's future that He has planned for us. There is in 1 John 4:17, if you want to go ahead and turn there, this word says that as He is, so are we in this world. Here's the place where I'm talking about your perception, about your vision. You've got to kind of consider this. You kind of meditate on this. How is He? How is Christ? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? Is there poverty and lack in heaven? Is there the curse in heaven? Is there anything lacking in heaven? Nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. So, this statement, this is what the Lord says. So, the limits of our ability, because as He is, so are we in this world. So, that's the way we are right now. Your perception needs to see yourself this way. Religion says, oh, you can't do that. You're only human. Religion says, oh, that's not for us, that's for somebody else. But God's saying, as He is, so are we. Say this. Say, as Christ is, so am I in this world. One more time. As Christ is, so am I in this world. So the limits of our ability as a child of God cannot be measured. Because the limit of your ability is your daddy God. We have His DNA. We're His heirs. Amen. We are joint heirs with Christ. It goes ahead to say that we had joint seating in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you remember, Pastor preached on this the other day. He said that God raised Jesus up far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the ages to come, and has seated him at the right hand of God, amen, and basically has made him to be the head of the church. Then in that, I think it's Ephesians 2:6, I didn't read that, but should have. But he says that we have been made to sit together in those places. So that's not talking about when we get to heaven. That's talking about right here on the earth. The glorious church representing, shining forth with the glory of God, allowing the Word of God to be the filter, and then we take that out into the world, God's glory. We are well able. That needs to be our motto. We are well able. When God says, go lay hands on the sick, we're well able. When he says, raise the dead, we're well able. Uh-oh. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, you may not know how to do it yet, but I believe we're going to be learning how to do it. I believe the Holy Spirit is. I believe it's going to be some of the things, some of the markings. How about when Jesus said, I think it's in Luke 4 and also Isaiah 61, he says, I'm anointed. I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed to preach the deliverance. I'm not going to get it all in the same order, but he's basically saying I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted. I'm anointed to bring sight to those that are blind. I'm anointed to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And one of the things that he did, and it messed with religion, because it's just like the lepers, he would touch them. You know, in the law, you couldn't do that because they were unclean. And if you touch them, you become unclean. But Jesus didn't. He fulfilled the law. And he brought in a new and living way. The anointing that he has, we have. The anointing that he walks in, we walk in. That's the reason why he talks about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Those are in us. But they operate, as pastors taught, as the Holy Spirit wills. And he tells us to desire those spiritual gifts. Sometimes we don't do that because we're scared. We're scared we can't do it. We're not creatures of fear. We're creatures of faith. Faith says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The anointing that strengthens me. So our perception has to change. From just another social gathering, as just another religious person or a religious group. There's things that God wants to do in this area. There's things that God wants to do around your home, of people that you come in contact with. Now, they may not understand it at first, but you keep doing what the Word of God says and pray Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 that their eyes will be opened up, that they may know what is the hope of His calling. There'll be some things happen. There'll be opportunities for us as the body of Christ in this area to magnify the Lord. And remember, it's not going to be our might, but it's by His might, by His Spirit, by the anointing, the yoke-destroying, the burden-removing power of God. Amen? So, in other words, it's not by natural army. It's not by the natural person's strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And one of the things that God wants to do, and let's turn to, I think it's Job 8:7. Talks again, I'm talking about the no limits. And this is where a lot of people are. They still see themselves in their former state of condition as small. Their perception and their vision of themselves, they still see themselves as, oh, that's old brother Rick. Or, that's old brother Charles, you know. I'm just a hillbilly. I'm just this or I'm just that. But he says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. So this again is God's vision for us. This is his dream for us. This is where we've got to come to. Now this says in the common English version, it says, although your former state of condition was usual, normal, or ordinary, your future will be extraordinary. That's above ordinary. So you're just not ordinary folks. You're extraordinary. I'm going to come back to that. But one of the places, and I'm not necessarily going to read this, Sister Melinda, but I'm going to try to, it's in Daniel 1 if you want to look at it. There are some things in there that we can see. So if you want to, go ahead and put it up there. We'll just view this real quick. Are y'all understanding the heart, the perception that God has for us? What His dream is for us? What His dream is for this church, New Generation Church. Hence the name, New Generation. That means not like the old churches, you know. Different. Raised to be different. Amen. In Daniel chapter 1, how many of you remember Daniel and the three Hebrew boys? Their names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some of you are saying, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is what the Bible says. Well, it does, yeah. But their Hebrew name is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Azariah. Same thing. What happened here, Nebuchadnezzar came in. Israel was out of touch with God, I'll say that. He came in and conquered them. And he tells them, he says, now, he tells his head eunuch, go out among these children and find those that are purposed. Let's see. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. But he tells them basically to go out and find the brightest and the best. So guess what? You're the brightest and the best. That's the reason why the devil wants to change your name or he wants to change your perception. That's the reason why there's a lot of identity crisis today. That's the reason why there's a lot of gender bending going on today. That's the reason why there's a lot of mutilation going on today. That's the reason why there's an attack against the family. That's the reason why the devil's trying to change our identity. He's trying to circumvent the family of God because he wants this family for himself. Basically, he wants to be man. He wants to be in the position of man. But you're in that favored position. I'm in that favored position. So we've got to learn how to operate from that position. So, long story short, God says that he gave them, in verse 17, as for these four, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So not only did Daniel have skill in learning and wisdom, but he had additional skills in visions and dreams. And it was through his favor with the head eunuch that he got to prove out God to these people. And it says in verse 19, after the end of their fast and after the end of their testing, it says in verse 19, the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. And what did he do? He found them 10 times more. So not only did God give them these gifts, but when it came to a testing time, where this guy was looking for some wisdom for whatever the reason was. Maybe he's getting ready to go conquer another kingdom. When he questioned all of these people, there was none like the three Hebrew boys and Daniel. They became 10 times more. So God added to them. God increased them. As we go through our lives, God wants to make a distinction between us and the world. You follow what I'm saying? He has made it that way. And this proves it here in the Old Testament. And there's another place here that we may be going to here a little bit if I have time. But if I don't, he says that he will make you 1,000 times more than your enemies. And he will bless you according to his word. Again, when we go out, it's not in our power and might. It's not in our own intellect. You know, it's not in our own ability. God's given us all gifts. And in certain areas. But when it comes to the testing and the proving, when it comes to standing against the world, God's going to make you at least 10 times more, even up to 1,000 times more. So you're 10 times better than the people in the world in every area, mentally and physically. spiritually. And especially when it comes to businesses, when it comes into those areas, God's going to give you wisdom and learning in those areas. I believe that there's going to be new inventions coming forth. I believe that He wants to give them to the body of Christ. Inventions that's never, it would astound the imagination. So, let's roll on. Okay. Go back to Job 8:7. I like this. I don't know about you, but I'm just relating to you what God's been giving to me. Job 8:7, in the, let's look at this, in the NIV, says, "Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be." Let these words, let the Word of God, the Word of life, saturate your mind, renewing your mind to the Word of God, and begin to see yourself as these words. Let them filtrate your mind. And let them just funnel down in and get it right down on the inside of you that God wants the best. And He's made you the best. He calls you the best. I said before, you're His babies. And you don't put baby in a corner. And that's what the devil and the world's trying to do is put you, me, the church, in a corner. 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 So, let's look at the, NIV? All right, let's go to the New American Standard. We're still in Job 8:7. That though your beginning seemed to be insignificant, yet your end will greatly increase. So you got to quit seeing yourself as insignificant, as common, as small, as only human, and start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. Let's look at another one. The Christian Standard Bible says, even if your beginnings were modest, your final days will be full of prosperity. The Message translations, though you may not be much right now, you'll end up better than ever. And you know, that seems to be a mindset of a lot of Christians or a lot of people after they get born again, even if they've been in the church for a long time. They ain't much. That's the thought. That's the way the devil or the world has made their perception. They still can't see themselves. And again, your identity has to come through the new creation, not your humanity. Okay? Let's do one more, maybe two more. Common English Version says, although your former state of condition was ordinary, your future will be extraordinary. The New International Reader's Version says, in the past, things went well with you, but in the days to come, things will get even better. You don't hear that a lot today, do you? You don't hear that a lot from a lot of churches. Oh, no. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's the world. That's what the world will get worse and worse. But the church is supposed to get better and better. The best example I can give you of that is when the children of Israel, God was delivering them out of Egypt. After the first or second plague, God separated them, made that marked distinction, and put them, they were in the land of Goshen, and after that first or second episode, nothing else touched them. Amen? So there was a separation made. And there's been a separation made today. The Bible talks about a remnant. So, you have to make up your mind that you're going to be a part of that remnant. Or you're going to go home early. Me, I'm going to stand and fight. I'm a part of the remnant. I have the remnant mentality. I'll live and not die, and I'll declare the works of God. And that's exactly what I told the devil when he came with his cancer trick to attack me. That was a verse that really just, the Lord just penetrated it into my being. And that's what I declared the Lord. I said, you done picked on the wrong dude, mister. You done picked on the wrong dude. I don't belong to you. You're trespassing. So, anyhow. Haggai 2:6-9. I'm just about through. One more time. One more verse. and I'll quit. Maybe two more verses. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come to you, and I will fill this house with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. Well, guess what? God's shaking things today. He's shaking nations. He's shaking up governments. He's shaking up every aspect of our government. There's a judgment call that's being done on the things, the atrocities that's been done against God's innocent people, especially the babies who've been killed in the womb, you know, abortion. So it may look like it. It may not feel like it. It may look like they're getting away with murder. They have for years, but the Bible talks about that restitution. It talks about what you sow and what you're going to reap. Seed time and harvest. Their harvest is getting ready to come forth. And the church is going to be looking good. In a good place. We're in a good place right now. Amen. So he says, I will shake the nation. Verse 8 says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former house, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We're the latter house. We're the latter house. So this, our end is peace. So, having said that, say, I am part of the latter house. And the glory of the Lord will flow through me, will shine on me. All right. Here's a declaration. Although your former state condition, say this, although my former state or my condition was usual, regular or ordinary, my future will be extraordinary. I'll be going beyond what is usual, regular, ordinary, to the exceptional, to the above and beyond, natural limitations, raising me, even elevating me above common rank, above common ability, and of common intelligence, so as to make a marked distinction between me and the world. Amen. These are some of the things I meditate on. Here's one more. I'll throw this in. I don't know if you got this one or not. But it says Job 36:11, this is part of my decrees every morning, sometimes twice or three times a day. If you obey and serve the Lord, you shall spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. You don't hear that much out of the religious church, do you? Spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Deuteronomy 11:18-21. Lay up. Let's see. Lay up the word of God in your heart. That was verse 18. Verse 19. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. Teach the ways of God to your children. In verse 20, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the earth or in this land that the Lord has given us, so that our days be like heaven here upon this earth. Well, now, brother, I thought we were supposed to have a little bit of hell here on this earth. I thought we was going to be attacked, and I thought we was going to be sick, and I thought we was going to be poor. I thought we was going to be busted. I thought we couldn't even be trusted. No, this is God's word. So shall our days be like heaven here upon this earth. Again, you got to look at heaven and see what's in heaven and then bring it here on the earth. And you bring that through the confession of your faith and speaking and declaring the promises. If you're going through hell, don't hang on to it or don't stay there. If you're catching hell, don't hang on to it. Amen. God's made a way. And Deuteronomy 1:11, that's the one I was going to tell you about. It says that the Lord God of our fathers makes us 1,000 times more than you are. And you have to remember that you were small to begin with. You were insignificant to begin with. But your latter years are going to be very great. So he's going to make you 1,000 times more and bless you. Not curse you, but he's going to bless you. Amen. Praise God. I've preached myself happy. I don't know about you. I hope I haven't bored you silly. But the Word of God is true. The Word of God is life. Amen. So if you will stand with me.